The Chemical Wedding by Cristiano Cruz de Rosa. Day 6. Next morning, after we had awakened one another, we sat together a while to discourse what might yet be the event of things. For some were of opinion what they should all be enlivened again together. Others contradicted it, because the decease of the ancients was not only to restore life, but increase too to the young ones. Some imagined that they were not put to death, but that others were beheaded in their stead. We having now talked together a pretty long while, in comes the old man, and first saluting us, looks about him to see if all things were ready, and the processes enough done. We had herein so behaved ourselves, that he had no fault to find with our diligence, whereupon he placed all the glasses together, and put them into a case. Presently come certain youths bringing with them some ladders, ropes, and large wings, which they laid down before us, and departed. Then the old man began thus, "My dear sons, one of these three things must each of you this day constantly bear about with him. Now it is free for you either to make a choice of one of them, or to cast lots about it." We replied, "We would choose." "Nay," said he, "let it rather go by lot." Hereupon he made three little schedules. On one he writ ladder, on the second rope, on the third wings. These he laid in a hat, and each man must draw, and whatever he happened upon, that was to be his. Those who got the ropes, imagined themselves to be in the best case, but I chanced on a ladder, which hugely afflicted me, for it was 12 foot long, and pretty weighty, and I must be forced to carry it, whereas the others could handsomely coil their ropes about them. And as for the wings, the old man joined them so nearly onto the third sort, as if they had grown upon them. Hereupon he turned the cock, and then the fountain ran no longer, and we were fain to remove it, from the middle out of the way. After all things were carried off, he taking with him the casket with the glasses, took leave, and locked the door fast after him so that we imagined no other but that we had been imprisoned in this tower. But it was hardly a quarter of an hour before a round hole at the very top was uncovered, where we saw our Virgin, who called to us, and bade us good morrow, desiring us to come up. They with the wings were instantly above through the hole. Only they with the ropes were in evil plight. For as soon as ever one of us was up, he was commanded to draw up the ladder to him. At last each man's rope was hanged on an iron hook, so every one was fain to climb up by his rope as well as he could, which indeed was not compassed without blisters. Now as soon as we were all well up, the hole was again covered, and we were friendly received by the Virgin. This room was the whole breadth of the tower itself, having 6 very stately vestries a little raised above the room, and to be entered by the ascent of 3 steps. In these vestries we were distributed, there to pray for the life of the king and queen. Meanwhile the Virgin went in and out of the little door, till we had done. For as soon as our process was absolved, there was brought in, and placed in the middle through the little door, by 12 person, which were formerly our musicians, a wonderful thing of a longish shape, which my companions took only to be a fountain. But I well observed that the corpse lay in it, for the inner chest was of an oval figure, so large that 6 persons might well lie in it one by another. After which they again went forth, fetched their instruments, and conducted in our Virgin, together with her she attendants, with a most delicate noise of music. The Virgin carried a little casket, but the rest only branches and small lamps, and some 2 lighted torches. The torches were immediately given into our hands, and we were to stand about the fountain in this order. First stood the Virgin A with her attendants in a ring round about with the lamps and branches C. Next stood we with our torches B, then the musicians A in a long rank, last of all the rest of the Virgins D in another long rank too. Now whence the Virgins came, or whether they dwelt in the castle, or whether they were brought in by night, I know not, for all their faces were covered with delicate white linen, so that I could not know any of them. Hereupon the Virgin opened the casket, in which there was a round thing wrapped up in a pea-green double taffeta. This she laid in the uppermost kettle, and then covered it with the lid, which was full of holes, and had besides a rim, on which she poured in some of the water which we had the day before prepared, whence the fountain began immediately to run, and through four small pipes to drive into the little kettle. Beneath the undermost kettle there were many sharp points, on which the virgins stuck their lamps, that so the heat might come to the kettle, and make the water seethe. Now the water beginning to simmer, by many little holes at a, it fell in upon the bodies, and was so hot, that it dissolved them all, and turned them into liquor. But what the above said round wrapped up thing was, my companions knew not, but I understood that it was the Moor's head, from which the water conceived so great heat. At B round about the great kettle, there were again many holes, in which they stuck their branches. Now whether this was done of necessity, or only for ceremony, I know not. However, these branches were continually besprinkled by the fountain, whence it afterwards dropped somewhat of a deeper yellow into the kettle. This lasted for near 2 hours, that the fountain still constantly ran of itself, but yet the longer, the fainter it was. Meantime the musicians went their way, and we walked up and down in the room, and truly the room was so made, that we had opportunity enough to pass away our time. There was, four images, paintings, clockworks, organs, springing fountains, and the like, nothing forgotten. Now it was near the time when the fountain ceased, and would run no longer, upon which the Virgin commanded a round golden globe to be brought. But at the bottom of the fountain there was a tap, by which she let out all the matter that was dissolved by those hot drops, whereof certain quarts were then very red, into the globe. The rest of the water which remained above in the kettle was poured out. And so this fountain, which was now become much lighter, was again carried forth. Now whether it was opened abroad, or whether anything of the bodies that was further useful yet remained, I dare not certainly say. But this I know, that the water that was emptied into the globe was much heavier than six or yet more of us were well able to bear, albeit for its bulk it should have seemed not too heavy for one man. Now this globe being with much ado gotten out of doors, we again sat alone, but I perceiving a trampling overhead, had an eye to my ladder. Here one might take notice of the strange opinions my companions had concerning this fountain, for they not imagining but that the bodies lay in the garden of the castle, knew not what to make of this kind of working, but I thanked God that I awaked in so opportune a time, and saw that which helped me the better in all the Virgin's business. After 1/4 of an hour the cover above was again lifted off, and we commanded to come up, which was done as before with wings, ladders, and ropes. And it did not a little vex me, that whereas the Virgins could go up another way, we were fain to take so much toil, yet I could well judge there must be some special reason in it, and we must leave somewhat for the old man to do too. For even those with the wings had no advantage by them but when they were to mount through the hole. Now being gotten up thither also, and the hole shut again, I saw the globe hanging by a strong chain in the middle of the room. In this room was nothing else but mere windows, and still between two windows there was a door, which was covered with nothing but a great polished looking glass, and these windows and looking glasses were so optically opposed one to another, that although the sun, which now shined exceeding bright, beat only upon one door, yet, after the windows towards the sun were opened, and the doors before the looking glasses drawn aside, in all quarters of the room there was nothing but suns, which by artificial refractions beat upon the whole golden globe hanging in the midst, and for as much as the same, besides that brightness, was polished, it gave such a luster, that none of us could open our eyes, but were therefore forced to look out at windows till the globe was well heated, and brought to the desired effect. Here I may well avow that in these mirrors I have seen the most wonderful spectacle that ever nature brought to light, for there were suns in all places, and the globe in the middle shined yet brighter, so that but for one twinkling of an eye, we could no more endure it than the sun itself. At length the Virgin commanded to shut up the looking glasses again, and to make fast the windows, and so let the globe cool again a little, and this was done about 7 of the clock. Wherefore we thought good, since we might now have leisure a little to refresh ourselves with a breakfast. This treatment was again right philosophical, and we had no need to be afraid of intemperance, yet we had no want. And the hope of the future joy, with which the Virgin continually comforted us, made us so jocund that we regarded not any pains, or inconvenience. And this I can truly say too concerning my companions of high quality, that their minds never ran after their kitchen or table, but their pleasure was only to attend upon this adventurous physic, and hence to contemplate the Creator's wisdom and omnipotency. After we had taken our refection, we again settled ourselves to work, for the globe was sufficiently cooled, which with toil and labor we were to lift off the chain and set upon the floor. Now the dispute was how to get the globe in sunder, for we were commanded to divide the same in the midst. The conclusion was that a sharp-pointed diamond would best do it. Now when we had thus opened the globe, there was nothing of redness more to be seen, but a lovely great snow-white egg. It most mightily rejoiced us, that this was so well brought to pass. For the Virgin was in perpetual care, lest the shell might still be too tender. We stood round about this egg as jocund as if we ourselves had laid it. But the Virgin made it presently be carried forth, and departed herself too from us again, and, as always, locked the door too. But what she did abroad with the egg, or whether it were some way privately handled, I know not, neither do I believe it. Yet we were again to pause together for one quarter of an hour, till the third hole were opened, and we by means of our instruments were come upon the fourth stone or floor. In this room we found a great copper kettle filled with yellow sand, which was warmed with a gentle fire. Afterwards the egg was raked up in it, that it might therein come to perfect maturity. This kettle was exactly square, upon one side stood these two verses, writ in great letters. O. B. L. I. 2. Bit. M. I. Li. Cant. I. Volt. Bit. 2. G. O. L. T. On the second side were these three words. Sanitas. Nix. Asta. The third had no more but this one word. F-I-A-T. But on the hindermost part stood an entire inscription running thus. Q-U-O-D. Ignis, air, aqua, terra. Sanctus regum et reginarum nostra. Cineribus. Aripara non pochurunt. Fidelis chymicorum turba. In H-A-N-C urnam. Contulit. A.D. Now whether the sand or egg were hereby meant, I leave to the learned to dispute, yet do I my part, and omit nothing undeclared. Our egg being now ready was taken out, but it needed no cracking, for the bird that was in it soon freed himself, and showed himself very jocund, yet he looked very bloody and unshapen. We first set him upon the warm sand, so the Virgin commanded that before we gave him anything to eat, we should be sure to make him fast, otherwise he would give us all work enough. This being done too, food was brought him, which surely was nothing else than the blood of the beheaded, diluted again with prepared water, by which the bird grew so fast under our eyes, that we well saw why the Virgin gave us such warning of him. He bit and scratched so devilishly about him, that could he have had his will upon any of us, he would soon have dispatched him. Now he was wholly black, and wild, wherefore other meat was brought him, perhaps the blood of another of the royal persons, whereupon all his black feathers molted again, and instead of them there grew out snow-white feathers. He was somewhat tamer too, and suffered himself to be more tractable. Nevertheless we did not yet trust him. At the third feeding his feathers began to be so curiously colored, that in all my life I never saw the like colors for beauty. He was also exceeding tame, and behaved himself so friendly with us, that, the Virgin consenting, we released him from his captivity. "'Tis now reason," began our Virgin, "since by your diligence, and our old man's consent, the bird has attained both his life, and the highest perfection, that he be also joyfully consecrated by us." Herewith she commanded to bring dinner, and that we should again refresh ourselves, since the most troublesome part of our work was now over, and it was fit we should begin to enjoy our past labors. We began to make ourselves merry together. Howbeit we had still all our mourning clothes on, which seemed somewhat reproachful to our mirth. Now the Virgin was perpetually inquisitive, perhaps to find to which of us her future purpose might prove serviceable. but her discourse was for the most part about melding, and it pleased her well when one seemed expert in such compendious manuals as do peculiarly commend an artist. This dinner lasted not above 3/4 of an hour, which we yet for the most part spent with our bird, whom we were fain constantly to feed with his meat, but he still continued much at the same growth. After dinner we were not long suffered to digest our meat, but after that the virgin together with the bird was departed from us. The 5th room was set open to us, whither we got to after the former manner, and tendered our service. In this room a bath was prepared for our bird, which was so colored with a fine white powder, that it had the appearance of mere milk. Now it was at first cool when the bird was set into it. He was mighty well pleased with it, drinking of it, and pleasantly sporting in it. But after it began to heat by reason of the lamps that were placed under it, we had enough to do to keep him in the bath. We therefore claps a cover on the kettle, and suffered him to thrust his head out through a hole, till he had in this sort lost all his feathers in this bath, and was as smooth as a newborn child, yet the heat did him no further harm, at which I much marvelled, for in this bath the feathers were quite consumed, and the bath was thereby tinged with blue. At length we gave the bird air, who of himself sprung out of the kettle, and was so glitteringly smooth, that it was a pleasure to behold it. But because he was still somewhat wild, we were fain to put a collar, with a chain, about his neck, and so led him up and down the room. Meantime a strong fire was made under the kettle, and the bath sodden away till it all came to a blue stone, which we took out, and having first pounded it, we were afterwards fain to grind it on a stone, and finally with this color to paint the bird's whole skin over. Now he looks much more strangely, for he was all blue, except the head, which remained white. Herewith our work on this story was performed, and we, after the virgin with her blue bird was departed from us, were called up through the hole to the 6th story, where we were mightily troubled, for in the midst a little altar, every way like that in the king's hall above described, was placed. Upon which stood the 6 forementioned particulars, and he himself, the bird, made the 7th. First of all the little fountain was set before him, out of which he drank a good draught. Afterwards he pecked upon the white serpent until she bled mightily. This blood we were to receive into a golden cup, and pour it down the bird's throat, who was mighty averse from it. Then we dipped the serpent's head in the fountain, upon which she again revived, and crept into her death's head, so that I saw her no more for a long time after. Meantime the sphere turned constantly on, until it made the desired conjunction. Immediately the watch struck 1, upon which there was a going another conjunction. Then the watch struck 2. Finally, whilst we were observing the 3rd conjunction, and the same was indicated by the watch, the poor bird of himself submissively laid down his neck upon the book, and willingly suffered his head, by one of us thereto chosen by lot, to be smitten off. Howbeit he yielded not one drop of blood, till he was opened on the breast, and then the blood spun out so fresh and clear as if it had been a fountain of rubies. His death went to the heart of us, and yet we might well judge that a naked bird would stand us in little stead. So we let it rest, and removed the little altar away and assisted the virgin to burn the body, together with the little tablet hanging by, to ashes with fire kindled at the little taper, afterwards to cleanse the same several times, and to lay them in a box of cypress wood. Here I cannot conceal what a trick I and 3 more were served. After we had thus diligently taken up the ashes, the virgin began to speak thus, "My lords, we are here in the 6th room, and have only 1 more before us, in which our trouble will be at an end, and then we shall return home again to our castle, to awaken our most gracious lords and ladies. Now albeit I could heartily wish that all of you, as you are here together, had behaved yourselves in such sort, that I might have given you commendations to our most renowned king and queen, and you have obtained a suitable reward, yet because, contrary to my desire, I have found amongst you these 4, herewith she pointed at me and 3 more, lazy and sluggish laborers, and yet according to my goodwill to all and every one, am not willing to deliver them up to consign punishment, however, that such negligence may not remain wholly unpunished, I am purposed thus concerning them, that they shall only be excluded from the future seventh and most glorious action of all the rest, and so too they shall incur no further blame from their royal majesties. In what a case we now were at this speech I leave others to consider. For the Virgin so well knew how to keep her countenance, that the water soon ran over our basket, and we esteemed ourselves the most unhappy of all men. After this the Virgin by one of her maids, whereof there were many always at hand, caused the musicians to be fetched, who were with cornets to blow us out of doors with such scorn and derision that they themselves could hardly sound for laughing. But it did particularly mightily afflict us that the Virgin so vehemently laughed at our weeping, anger and impatience, and that there might well perhaps be some amongst our companions who were glad of this our misfortune. But it proved otherwise, for as soon as we were come out at the door, the musician bid us be of good cheer and follow them up the winding stairs. They led us up to the seventh floor under the roof, where we found the old man, whom we had not hitherto seen, standing upon a little round furnace. He received us friendly, and heartily congratulated us, that we were hereto chosen by the Virgin, but after he understood the affright we had conceived, his belly was ready to burst with laughing, that we had taken such good fortune so heinously. "Hence," said he, "my dear sons, learn that man never knoweth how well God intended him." During this discourse the Virgin also with her little box came running in, who, after she had sufficiently laughed at us, emptied her ashes into another vessel, and filled hers again with other matter, saying she must now go cast a mist before the other artist's eyes, that we in the meantime should obey the old Lord in whatsoever he commanded us, and not remit our former diligence. Herewith she departed from us into the seventh room whither she called our companions. Now what she first did with them there, I cannot tell, for they were not only most earnestly forbidden to speak of it, but we too by reason of our business, durst not peep on them through the ceiling. But this was our work. We were to moisten the ashes with our fore-prepared water till they became altogether like a very thin dough, after which we set the matter over the fire, till it was well heated. Then we cast it thus hot as it was into two little forms or molds, and so let it cool a little. Here we had leisure to look a while upon our companions through certain crevices made in the floor. They were now very busy at a furnace, and each was himself fain to blow up the fire with a pipe, and they stood thus blowing about it, as if they were herein wondrously preferred before us. And this blowing lasted so long till our old man roused us to our work again, so that I cannot say what was done afterwards. We having opened our little forms, there appeared two beautiful bright and almost transparent little images, the like to which man's eye never saw, a male and a female, each of them only 4 inches long, and that which most mightily surprised me was that they were not hard, but limber and fleshy, as other human bodies, yet had they no life, so that I do most assuredly believe that the Lady Venus's image was also made after some such way. These angelically fair babes we first laid upon two little satin cushionettes, and beheld them a good while, till we were almost besotted upon so exquisite an object. The old Lord warned us to forbear, and continually to instill the blood of the bird, which had been received into a little golden cup, drop after drop into the mouths of the little images, from whence they apparently to the eye increased, and whereas they were before very small, they were now, according to proportion, much more beautiful, so that worthily all limners ought to have been here, and have been ashamed of their art in respect of these productions of nature. Now they began to grow so big that we lifted them from the little cushionettes, and were fain to lay them upon a long table, which was covered with white velvet. The old man also commanded us to cover them over up to the breast with a piece of the fine white double taffeta, which because of their unspeakable beauty, almost went against us. But that I may be brief, before we had in this manner quite spent the blood, they were already in their perfect full growth. They had gold-yellow curled hair, and the above-mentioned figure of Venus was nothing to them. But there was not yet any natural warmth, or sensibility in them. They were dead figures, yet of a lively and natural color, and since care was to be taken that they grew not too great, the old man would not permit anything more to be given them, but quite covered their faces too with the silk, and caused the table to be stuck round about with torches. Here I must warn the reader that he imagine not these lights to have been of necessity, for the old man's intent hereby was only that we should not observe when the soul entered into them, as indeed we should not have taken notice of it, in case I had not twice before seen the flames. However, I permitted the other three to remain in their belief, neither did the old man know that I had seen anything more. Hereupon he bid us sit down on a bench over against the table. Presently the Virgin came in too with the music and all furniture, and carried two curious white garments, the like to which I had never seen in the castle, neither can I describe them, for I thought no other than that they were mere crystal, but they were gentle, and not transparent, so that I cannot speak of them. These she laid down upon a table, and after she had disposed her virgins upon a bench round about, she and the old man began many legerdemain tricks about the table, which was done only to blind us. This, as I told you, was managed under the roof, which was wonderfully formed, for on the inside it was arched into seven hemispheres, of which the middlemost was somewhat the highest, and had at top a little round hole, which was nevertheless shut, and was observed by none else. After many ceremonies steps in six virgins, each of which bare a large trumpet, which were ruled about with a green glittering and burning material like a wreath, one of which the old man took, and after he had removed some of the lights at top, and uncovered their faces, he placed one of the trumpets upon the mouth of one of the bodies in such manner, that the upper and wider part of it was directed just against the forementioned hole. Here my companions always looked upon the images, but I had other thoughts, for as soon as the foliage or wreath about the shank of the trumpet was kindled, I saw the hole at top open, and a bright stream of fire shooting down the tube, and passing into the body, whereupon the hole was again covered, and the trumpet removed. With this device my companions were deluded, so that they imagined that life came into the image by means of the fire of the foliage, for as soon as he received the soul he twinkled with his eyes, howbeit he scarce stirred. The second time he placed another tube upon its mouth, and kindled it again, and the soul was let down through the tube. This was repeated upon each of them three times, after which all the lights were extinguished and carried away. The velvet carpets of the table were cast together over them, and immediately a traveling bed was unlocked and made ready, into which thus wrapped up they were borne, and so after the carpets were taken off them, they were neatly laid by each other, where with the curtains drawn before them, they slept a good while. Now was it also time for the Virgin to see how our other artists behaved themselves. They were well pleased because, as the Virgin afterwards informed me, they were to work in gold, which is indeed a piece of this art, but not the most principal, most necessary and best. They had indeed too a part of these ashes, so that they imagined no other but that the whole bird was provided for the sake of gold, and that life must thereby be restored to the deceased. Meantime we sat very still, attending when our married couple would awake. Thus about half an hour was spent. For then the wanton Cupid presented himself again, and after he had saluted us all, flew to them behind the curtain, tormenting them so long till they awaked. This happened to them with very great amazement, for they imagined no other but that they had hitherto slept from the very hour in which they were beheaded. Cupid, after he had awaked them, and renewed their acquaintance one with another, stepped aside a little, and permitted them both somewhat better to recruit themselves, meantime playing his tricks with us, and at length he would needs have the music fetched to be somewhat the merrier. Not long after the Virgin herself comes, and after she had most humbly saluted the young king and queen, who found themselves somewhat faint, and kissed their hands, she brought them the two forementioned curious garments, which they put on, and so stepped forth. Now there were already prepared two very curious chairs, wherein they placed themselves, and so were by us with most profound reverence congratulated, for which the king in his own person most graciously returned his thanks, and again reassured us of all grace. It was already about 5 o'clock, wherefore they could make no longer stay, but as noon as ever the chiefest of their furniture could be laden, we were to attend the young royal persons down the winding stairs, through all doors and watches unto the ship, in which they embarked themselves, together with certain virgins and Cupid, and sailed so mighty swift that we soon lost sight of them, yet they were met, as I was informed, by certain stately ships. Thus in 4 hours' time they had made many leagues out at sea. After 5 o'clock the musicians were charged to carry all things back again to the ships, and to make themselves ready for the voyage. But because this was somewhat long a doing, the old lord commanded forth a party of his concealed soldiers, who had hitherto been planted in the wall, so that we had taken no notice of any of them, whereby I observed that this tower was well provided against opposition. Now these soldiers made quick work with our stuff that no more remained further to be done but to go to supper. Now the table being completely furnished, the Virgin brings us again to our companions where we were to carry ourselves as if we had truly been in a lamentable condition and forbear laughing. But they were always smiling one upon another, howbeit some of them too sympathized with us. At this supper the old lord was with us too, who was a most sharp inspector over us, for none could propound anything so discreetly, but that he knew how either to confute it, or amend it, or at least to give some good document upon it. I learned most by this lord, and it were very good that each one would apply himself to him, and take notice of his procedure, for then things would not so often and so untowardly miscarry. After we had taken our nocturnal reflection, the old lord led us into his closets of rarities, which were here and there dispersed amongst the bulwarks where we saw such wonderful productions of nature, and other things too which man's wit in imitation of nature had invented, that we needed a year more sufficiently to survey them. Thus we spent a good part of the night by candlelight. At last, because we were more inclined to sleep than see many rarities, we were lodged in rooms in the wall, where we had not only costly good beds but also besides extraordinary handsome chambers, which made us the more wonder why we were the day before forced to undergo so many hardships. In this chamber I had good rest, and being for the most part without care, and weary with continual labor, the gentle rushing of the sea helped me to a sound and sweet sleep, for I continued in one dream from 11 o'clock till 8 in the morning.